Good morning. Good to see y'all out this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. It's just a privilege and an honor to be with you all to worship the great God of heaven. This pulpit feels different today. It feels Joshified. Last week was fantastic. In fact, that's exactly what I want to preach on today, last week's meeting. But the pulpit just doesn't... It feels a lot bigger today. Josh fills his pulpit up in a way that most people can't. So I'm glad you're here today. There are bulletins available. If you'd like a bulletin for taking notes or something like that, please hold your hand up. Ben, be glad to bring that right to you this morning so that you can have that. There's an article in there for you to read. You can look at the picture on the screen. Sorry if you're up front in the picture. This was a photo that Josh snapped on Thursday night of the meeting. And I thought, well, it's too good to not use. So don't forget, Ben, look around for the hands. Keep them up there nice and high, and we'll have that to you just shortly. So if you remember, two Sundays ago, I actually preached a lesson to help prepare us for the gospel meeting that just ended Friday night. In fact, several of you told me that it was helpful. But you said it like this. Well, that was a good lesson. That was helpful. But I'd never heard a lesson like that before, or on that before. And that wasn't like, oh, it was such a great sermon, maybe, but it was just topic-wise, nobody had ever heard a sermon about preparing for a gospel meeting. Honestly, I hadn't either, which is why I preached it. I hadn't heard one like that, and I thought that was a good time to do that as we were preparing ourselves both physically and emotionally and spiritually for the event, I'll call it that, the series of lessons that just ended Friday night. And so I got to thinking about that. And this past week, and I was thinking, well, what should I preach this Sunday? And I thought, well, I'd swing for the fence one more time, and I'd preach a follow-up sermon to that sermon that I preached two Sundays ago. I saw this idea on a website online of a sermon for preparation and a sermon for follow-up. I like the idea, so I'm stealing it, and I'm using it here. I just simply want to share with you, for the first part of our time together today, some of my observations. These are my observations. I haven't talked to Todd or Brian about these. These are the things that I observed, the things that I saw, and I'd like to share those with you all. And then make some suggestions and some applications for your benefit. In fact, this lesson is very similar to what Todd, Brian, and I do when we get together for our little coffee sessions and we talk about things. We discuss the work of the church. You're going to get a little look into the inner workings of the eldership. Cool stuff, right? When we have coffee and we talk about you guys in a good way. And so really all this is the lesson. First one was a lesson to plan. You do this in business. Plan, execute, analyze. And we're going to do that. We're going to do that together. And I think you'll see how this will be a profitable lesson for your benefit as we move forward. So here, I want to share my observations. Here's what I observed. I observed many good things this past week. I observed great zeal to host the preacher. I had never seen this before. I know I made light about this. I made a little comment about y'all can invite me out to eat too. And you did, by the way. I gained a bunch of weight this past week. Thank you. It was delicious. But I absolutely love joining in the fellowship and seeing your hospitality in action, both in your homes and when we went out to restaurants. And I know Josh felt loved, and I know he was appreciated because he told me so by opening up your homes and your lives to him. But I had never seen women fighting men too over the meal list. What I mean by that is I encourage people to sign up, and I heard several of you say it was hard to find a spot. Now, that's a good problem to have. People so eager, so zealous to host the preacher for a meal and some fellowship. I saw that. That was awesome to witness. I saw fervor for the gospel, true love for the word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. I saw fellowship of the saints. I saw you all just loving being together. And this was palatable in every service. I heard it in your singing voices. I was up here all week, except for two nights. I was in front of you. I got to hear it in your voices. I saw it in your faces. I heard it in your amens. And both before and afterwards, it was obvious in your robust conversations. You understand, listen, love among the brethren can be faked, but not for long. And it's just not that way here at Central. There is great love among the saints here. And it was so obvious. This fervor for the gospel and desire to be with one another was just a beautiful thing. And that, obviously, I saw a lot of love. A lot of compassion. I observed so many hugs and affection between brothers and sisters in Christ. And I heard you, I saw you share that love with people you'd never met before. I heard you talking about your lives with each other and asking about your brother's or your sister's life and how you can be involved and talking about God and his blessings in your life and just the exchange of simple gifts and kind words. And it's a beautiful thing. I saw all that going on all week long. And it's just neat to be able to see that night after night. I saw a very high level of commitment and dedication. Coming every night is hard, period. It's hard. It's hard. And you know, we Todd and Brian, we like to have attendance, and this is not to fuss. It's just so that we can keep a track of the flock, right? We look and we watch, and so we have a little sheet. I got a hold of that, and I looked. There are 18 members of Central who had 100% perfect attendance for the whole meeting from Sunday to Friday. Now, I'm not saying that to puff your head up, which is why I'm not saying any names. Listen, that's commendable. That's commitment. That's dedication. Right? That perfect attendance award, if we even had such a thing, that is to your commendation that you put things aside and you put God first. In fact, here, if you'd like to see some actual numbers, the total attendance was way up. We've had meetings in the past where total attendance, if we hit the 30s, we were feeling pretty good. Right? That was kind of a good number. But when you go through a whole full day of work and you live a long distance away, when you don't feel good, when you have little kids, being here is hard. And I'm saying this for your commendation. Just to look at this list, Sunday we had 66, Monday we had 66, Tuesday 45, Wednesday 46, Thursday 76. By the way, that picture is from Thursday, 76. And Friday, we had 51. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, when I see numbers like that, to me, that's an indication of great zeal, dedication, and commitment. And so these are some of the positives. And I haven't asked Todd and Brian the positives they observed. We'll talk about that, no doubt, over a cup of coffee at some point. But this is what I saw. And I could go on and on about this, but I want to keep this part kind of short. But I saw a lot of good stuff. Then I had to ask myself, well, did I see any bad stuff? Right? Was there any bad? Well, it was practically non-existent, but here's the bad things I saw. And I'm going to call it bad because I got to thinking, just it's a fine way to describe it, good and bad. One of the bad things was some of y'all weren't here. And this, again, I'm not going to stand up here and berate you. To me, it was a negative that you weren't here, right? There are members who are missing. Again, this is not to say we're keeping a record and we're going to come fuss at you and give you your attendance slip. No, I just want you to understand, on Sunday, 13 of our saints who identify here at Central weren't present out of that number. 13. So add 13 to 66. On Monday, 23 were missing. So add 23 to Monday's number. Tuesday, add 29. Wednesday, add 29. Thursday, add 25. If you put 25 on 76, we topped three figures. We were in 100. Friday, we were missing 31 of you all. And listen, now I'm not going to stand up here and say, you know, shame, shame, shame. I'm saying, I understand life happens, work happens, illness happens, things. I understand. But think about that. To me, that was a low point. I missed you all. I sincerely missed you. And so, like I said, this is not a brag session or a nag session. These are just my observations. These are my honest feelings. Do you recall 2 weeks ago in my sermon, I said, here's my quote. I went back and looked. It's not uncommon at our gospel meetings and singings to have barely 50% of our membership present with equal numbers of visitors. That's directly out of my outline. I said that. So in other words, I was suggesting that it was normal. And if you go back and look at the trend, normal, and this is pretty much true in most congregations, if you have one member, you'll have one visitor, right? So if we had 50 people at a total attendance, that means 25 were visitors, 25 were members. That's kind of normal here at Central and over the past. Well, I sat down and pulled my Todd cap out, and I did some number crunching, and I hope I did okay with it. I want you to see this. Look at this. This is the actual how it breaks down for the week. Now, the first column, obviously, there, or the second column from the left, is the total percentage, is our attendance percentage, of our total members. And I had Todd double-check the count on this. If we count up all the people who have identified at Central, 83% of y'all were here last Sunday, 67% on Monday, 58% on Tuesday, 63% Wednesday, 65% Thursday, and 55% on Friday. Listen, that's all better than 50% attendance. So, listen, that's positive. That's very good. But if you actually look at the breakdown, and this is what Rocky does on his attendance list, he'll write down how many members, he'll check those off, and then he'll count the visitors. Here's how it breaks down. Look at this. I predicted a common 1-to-1 ratio. Now, how'd I do? The ratio's there in the left column. Last Sunday, there were 66 people here, 54 members, 12 visitors. That's a 5-to-1 ratio. I said 1-to-1. Well, what about Monday night? 2-to-1. Tuesday, 5-to-1. Wednesday, 8-to-1. I got it right on Thursday, but we have 39 visitors. So that one kind of is an exception. And then Friday was 2-to-1. I was proven wrong. You all stepped up to the plate. What I'm getting at here, you all, is understand that I am impressed with your attendance, but the negative is there's still quite a few folks who could have been here that maybe they weren't. So I'm just bringing this up to your attendance. Again, this is not to sit here and say, Todd and Brian and I are mad at you, and we're going to write you a slip saying you have missed so many services, you know, improve your attendance or you're going to get kicked out. Nothing like that. That's ridiculous. And I know congregations that do that kind of nonsense. I'm just telling you that I love you, and when you weren't here, I noticed, and I missed you. I also noticed that for some of you, you told me this, we didn't have as many visitors from the community as we had dreamed about. Some of you I talked about, some of y'all took like 20 flyers, and you were sharing it online, and you were like, man, I'm hoping everybody comes, and we didn't have quite as many as we dreamed about, but that's okay. I have to put that in the bad column because it's not overwhelmingly good, but we did have quite a few visitors from area congregations and from the community. We actually did. And that, so again, we didn't have as many as we dreamed about. So again, even though it's in my bad column, it is so almost really it should go in the good column. Do you see what I'm getting at here? So don't get me wrong. We had lots of visitors, but I think some of you expected, you passed out 5 flyers and you were expecting 5 people kind of a thing. But that's okay. It oftentimes comes down to a numbers game with that. If you invite many, some will come. If you invite none, a few, none will come. So it's a numbers game many times. But again, I'm not complaining about anything here. I'm just saying this is what I saw that would have fallen slightly on the negative side. But even with this, it's not terrible. Regardless, it was a great week. I was greatly edified by being here. I was encouraged by your presence. Maybe I'm just greedy. But I want all my family here every time the doors are open. Sorry, I love you. Maybe I should apologize for that. I don't know. Looking at these numbers, though, is something that Todd and Brian and I do to gauge the health of the congregation. That's all we do with it. Please do not take offense at this analysis. Just think of it as a congregational report card. That's all that this is. Normally, you all don't see this kind of stuff, because we're hiding it, because nobody asks. I'm just sharing it with you all. Think of this as a way to ask yourself, are there areas where I can, that where we can improve to bring glory, better glory to God, greater glory to God, bring more souls to the cross and encouragement to the saints? Again, numbers like this, metrics like this are helpful for that. So this is the good, this is the bad. Well, I had to go with the good, bad, and the ugly theme because that was working. So I sat and thought, okay, what about ugly? Ugly. I can only think of one ugly. And I got his permission. It's this tie. That tie is so ugly. It matched his bubble gum. But no, I texted Josh last night. I said, hey, do you mind if I put a picture of that green tie? Because it was kind of ugly. And he laughed. He said, of course, go ahead. But in all seriousness, no doubt all of you have your own observations from the week. Like I said, quite a few here every single time. I would love to hear your thoughts, your observations. I'm very interested in that. And I would love for you to share that. But overall, I thought the meeting was great. I thought it was wonderful, a true blessing. It brought much glory to God. I was edified. I was encouraged. My cup was filled up, and that's hard to do. Josh boldly declared the truth and made the scriptures easily applicable for everybody, myself included. So if you missed any night, you really missed. By the way, all the sermons are currently on our website. If you don't know that website, look at the top of your bulletin. It's right there. It's always been the same. It'll always be the same as far as I'm concerned. Maybe we'll change it. I don't know, but there it is. You can find all of his lessons right there. Okay, those are my observations. What now? I'm going to give you a few practical applications, and then we're going to be finished for today. I'd like to suggest that now take a little break. I know some of you, and I'm looking at one who worked really hard for the meeting. Some of you need a little rest. I heard some of you say, "Whew, I'm whooped. That was a long week." And that's okay to say that. Taking a short break is understandable. It's normal. It's profitable. Let me show you some verses. Just in case you ever feel guilty about taking a little rest from doing good, it's totally scriptural. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 28, as Paul is recorded here about Luke, Paul doing all his missionary journeys and traveling about, right? They arrived there in verse 27. The church was gathered together and they reported all that God had done. He's giving his report, kind of like what we're doing here today. They're looking at and analyzing the effort. Verse 28, and they stayed for some time there with the disciples. That's about as good as we get as Luke saying, Paul took a little break. For Paul not to be traveling around the world constantly, for him to stay put was a break. So it's okay to take a little break. You need it. If you put out the effort last week of driving every night, you need a little break. That's okay. I understand that. Even Jesus tells his disciples over in Mark chapter 6. Turn there and notice the very same thing from the mouth of our Savior. In Mark chapter 6 in verse 30, as the disciples had been out preaching on the limited commission, and they come back to Jesus in verse 30, and they rejoin him, and they're reporting to him all that they had done. Again, kind of like our lesson here, and they're telling Jesus, we did this, we taught this, we went here, we did all this, and they're giving the analysis. Verse 31, there are so many people coming and going, they couldn't even take time to eat. You ever been that busy? You ever feel that way? So what did Jesus say? Come with me by yourself to a place where we can be alone and you can get some rest. Biblical advice is if you need it, take a little rest. It's okay to take a little rest. Now, I feel like, even Josh talked about not growing weary in well-doing with spiritual fatigue. Go back and listen to that lesson from last week. But let me clarify for a second about who might need rest and from what. Now, let me be blunt. If your labor for the gospel meeting or in the kingdom in general looks kind of like this guy, maybe you don't need a real big break. Maybe you need a little reminder of what real labor in the kingdom looks like. But honestly, to those who prepared, to those who invited, to those who attended, to those who prayed for the meeting, take a short, well-deserved break. You need that to recharge. You need that to recoup. You need that to be prepared to tackle the next task. But understand that a break is not retirement. Taking a short break is not permission to retire. And I don't believe that's a problem here at Central, but I feel like I need to say it just to be safe. Our combined effort over the past week to proclaim the gospel or any other such effort is not condensed into one little sprint. Josh talked about this. We talk about this often. The gospel meeting is one effort, but brothers and sisters, we are involved in a grand, lifelong work that achieves success only upon completion. We're in a marathon, not a dash. So what I would like to say to you, and let me be clear, to everybody, I thank all of you who gave everything to the gospel meeting. Some of y'all gave a lot. And again, I'm not saying this to puff you up. I'm saying this to honestly and sincerely say thank you. Everybody benefited from it. And those who continually put forth in the kingdom to work and to labor and to spread the gospel and to go fishing for men and all these types of things, thank you. But understand, that's just one leg of the marathon. So my advice to you is grab your breath, get that second wind, and then just keep on running. This past week, and I will say this in human terms, because I can't necessarily judge with God's judgment, obviously, but from human terms, last week was a tremendous success. It just was. Everything went well. It was very blessed. There was great response. It was a tremendous success. You deserve a little break, but brothers and sisters, too many Christians I see think they can just give it the old college try, and then they can just sit back and let others take it over from there. And that's not what I want anything to happen. Essentially, people think they get to retire from spiritual service in the kingdom. And I want to show you from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, to help us refocus. Because this past week took a lot of effort for a lot of people. Even just being here takes a lot of effort, and we can forget that it wasn't just about the meeting, although that was a good effort. We have to refocus on the prize. And brothers and sisters, our retirement, you would say, our prize is out of this world. And so we've got to persevere until we too are out of this world. Let's read there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. The writer here says, therefore, let us be terrified of the possibility that even though the promise of entering his rest, there's our retirement, remains, any one of you might be judged to have fallen away short of it. Excuse me. For the gospel has also been proclaimed to us, just as it was to them, but the message they heard didn't do them any good because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. And if you skim down to verse 9, the writer here goes on to say, so there remains a Sabbath rest or a Sabbath keeping for God's people. For the one who has entered God's rest has also rested from his own works as God did from his. Therefore, let us do our best. There's effort putting forth. Do our best to enter that rest so that no one will fall short because of the same kind of disobedience. And he's making a comparison back to the Israelites and things such as that. But what I want you to see is we put out a lot of effort. The temptation is to go, oh, I'm done. I'm beat. I'm wore out. Okay, take the break, recoup, regroup, and let's go forward. Chapter 10, verse 32. Let's read this passage and we'll move on. The writer says, but remember the earlier days when after you had received the light, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings? Verse 33, sometimes you were publicly disgraced and persecuted, while at other times you stood loyally by those who were treated this way. For you shared the sufferings of those who had been put in prison. And when your possessions were seized, you accepted it gladly, since you knew that what you possessed was better and would last forever. Talking about that heavenly retirement, that's what we're working for. So don't throw away that courage of yours, which carries with it such a great reward. For you need to hold out so that by having done what God wills, you may receive what he has promised. And here we have a quote from the book of Habakkuk. So he says, for there is so little time. The one coming will indeed come. He will not delay. But the person who is righteous, he will live by his life of faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Verse 39, however, we are not the kind who shrink back and are destroyed. On the contrary, we keep trusting. We keep believing. We have faith and we thus persevere for our whole lives. Brothers and sisters, let's make sure that little break, it's earned, it's well deserved, but don't let it become retirement. So what else? Okay, take the little break, take a little breather. Let's find something that needs to be done. There's work to do. What can be done? Well, for the faithful Christians here at Central, the ones who I'm looking at and speaking to right now, I want you to take Josh's lessons and apply them. That's not hard, is it? There's your assignment. Take the lessons that Josh preached. They were excellent. Josh is a fantastic gospel preacher and Bible student. Take the lessons and apply them. The principle's right there in James chapter 1 and verse 22. Don't deceive yourselves by only hearing what the word says, but do it. So we can make a careful application. Don't deceive yourselves that think that you just heard Josh's sermons, but do what Josh's sermons suggested, okay? Same principle. Verse 23, whoever hears the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, who looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he looks like. But if a person looks closely into the perfect Torah, the perfect law, which gives freedom and continues, becoming not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work it requires, and he will be blessed in what he does. Take the lessons and apply them. I promise one of those lessons applies to every single person in this room. I guarantee it. The one that hit me the most, the one that I needed the most, was Friday night's lesson. I don't know about you. Friday night's is the one I needed to hear. That was my favorite lesson of the week. I needed to hear that lesson. He reminded us all week that our help comes from God. They're from Acts 26 and verse 22. Help in all situations of life, not just with the haunting past like the one I needed to hear, but what about being too critical or spiritually fatigued? He reminded us that God helps us struggle with our identity in Christ, who we are. What about, you know, those hypothetical questions? I thought that was an interesting lesson. The hypothetical questions your friends might offer when you're talking to them about immersion and baptism. If you need help with that one, go listen to that. Apply it. What about finding work to do in the kingdom? Remember he talked about the little things, the little cup of water, the little things. Or dealing with difficult family members. Whatever it is, if you find one or any of those lessons applicable, then apply it. Study it, apply it. You know what that might mean you need to do? Go online and re-listen. Listen to the sermons again. You'll have some time during the week, maybe if you're cutting grass again or you're driving to work, whatever it is, re-listen to the lesson. I promise I'm going to do the same thing because it'll help you pick up something that you missed the first time around. You just can't get all of it in a sermon the first time. You go back and you re-listen, you'll pick up more stuff. Or it could help you gauge your application of the lesson. If you've been trying to apply the lesson, go back and re-listen and see how you're doing. Take an assessment. And this is how we can take what was done last week in Josh's lessons and move forward with it in a profitable way. I'd like to encourage you to share those lessons on your social media. You can link them right off our website. Share those. Share all you want. Share those away. This one's pretty self-explanatory, easy to do. I mean, as you come across somebody maybe this week at work or next week or whatever the case is, if you can think of somebody who might benefit from one of those lessons, click and share it. That's pretty easy to do. But this is how we can take the lessons that Josh labored over and he presented to us, and we can keep them working moving into the future. After applications, you should be maturing to be able to teach others by your words and by your behavior. Again, easy to understand, maybe hard to do. But if I know you all at all, and I feel like I know you all pretty good, there are some outstanding Bible students in this room, and there are some who are more than up to the challenge, so I'm issuing the challenge to learn the lessons, apply the lessons, share the lessons, and teach the lessons. Well, what about those who visited? Those maybe we invited, whether they be from other congregations or from the community, friends, family. What about those? Well, I'd like to suggest to you that for those who visited the services, you need to know that the seed was sown to their hearts. And that's comforting to know because when you stop and think about it, those who were invited and those who came, I am absolutely confident that they didn't come here to see lights and smoke and mirror and entertainment and silliness. They heard, even though Josh is quite exciting, they heard the word of God. And it was sown to their hearts. And that's always a profitable thing. For those who may have been visiting from other congregations, which was the large percentage of our visitors, pray that those lessons are profitable for them and that they will apply them in the same way that I just suggested for you. For those who are not members of the body of Christ, who visited from the community, where the case would be, pray that the lessons, the gospel that was sown to their heart, that it will find a good and honest soil, good and honest heart. Pray for that. And that it will take root, that will lead to the saving of a soul. If somebody who had was here last week who is an erring Christian, someone who has fallen away, who has turned their back on the Lord, pray that the lesson will hurt them in a godly way. Pray that it will cut them to the heart. Pray that it will afflict their conscience and urge them to purge the sin from their lives and turn back to faithful service of the Lord before it's too late. See, the gospel proclaimed at our meeting can and will achieve all of this and then some, so we have to prepare ourselves to do our part. If we think about it in the analogy of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, turn over there with me if you'd like, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul uses the concept of the parable of the sower. He applies it here. He says, listen, some sow, some water. Josh sowed the seed. Guess what our job is going to be? We're the water boys, the water girls, right? We need to be ready to water. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says right there, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Brothers and sisters, we need to be ready to water. I don't know who it may be, who you might hear the sermon. They may not have heard it yet. They might be somebody you share the sermon with through a link on social media or something like that. But we need to be willing to follow up with people for further study. That's what watering means. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying that their hearts will be receptive. We need to be staying available to them whenever the Lord might call you into service for their benefit. It's God who's going to bring the increase, but he's going to use you at some point to water, to plant, or a little bit of both. This is how we can take what was learned and what was accomplished and what we heard last week, and we can go forward with it. Now, I have to speak for a second to those who didn't come. To those who didn't come to the meeting, if it's someone that you invited, maybe a neighbor, someone who's not a member of the church, someone who is not affiliated with any congregation or things such as that, let me suggest to you, if they declined your invitation, and I had a several of you say, well, I passed out all these flyers, but nobody came, it's okay. I mean, it's okay, because what's required of you now is patience and humility and gentleness and prayer and perseverance. 2 Timothy chapter 2, here's what you need to do. For those that you gave a flyer to or offered an invitation to and they didn't come, we still love them, obviously. So let's be patient with them. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23 says, stay away from stupid and ignorant controversies. You know that they're going to lead to fights, and a slave of the Lord shouldn't fight. Listen, in other words, don't go to that person and argue with them. Why didn't you come to the meeting? No, on the contrary, be kind to everyone. A good teacher, not resentful when mistreated. Also, listen, brothers and sisters, he should be gentle as he corrects his opponents, for God may perhaps grant them the opportunity to turn from their sins, acquire full knowledge of the truth, come to their senses, and escape the trap of the adversary after having been captured alive by him to do his will. In other words, it wasn't a one-time invitation and done. Listen, go back and invite them again to listen to the lesson or sit down and study. Continue, persevere with love and kindness and gentleness. What we hope for, when I say we, what the Lord hopes for through us, through our efforts, is what we see occur over in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we have the parable of the prodigal. The parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal just means wasteful. Here's the son who demanded his inheritance. He went and wasted it on riotous living. And there comes a point in the story there in Luke chapter 15 at verse 7. My translation puts it this way. Excuse me, 17. My translation says this. Of this wasteful, ignorant, foolish, sinful son, it says, at last he came to his senses. He came to his senses and he said to himself, any number of my father's hired workers have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. You remember, he's in the pig pen, slopping the hogs, so hungry that he wants to eat the slop of the hogs. And he comes to his senses. Hunger, being destitute, being in the depths of sin will do funny things to people. He came to his senses, and he says, I, in verse 18, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And the Father in this parable is God. Father is God. He said, I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son in verse 19, and treat me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and he went to his father. This is what God hopes for all the people you might have invited to the meeting last week who didn't come. Now, what's your role in that? This is going to be a little offensive, Sonny. Maybe you're a pig. You know what I'm saying? You're some influence on them that's going to make them. Not, I don't mean a pig in a bad way. But the pigs in this story represented something that stimulated this young man to a point where he came to his senses. Maybe you can encourage. Maybe you, and again, maybe that's a bad comparison. You know what I'm trying to say to you. Continue. Persevere. The hope is those people will one day come to their senses and come to the Father. It's just continually casting your line out there and fishing. If you don't get a bite the first time, you don't just pack it up and go home. You keep on, right? And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Now, to those of you, and again, this is not a hard fuss, but to those of you who are members here at Century, you've identified with the saints here and you had legitimate excuses, or maybe you chose to do something else, or you failed to prioritize worship first. And like I said a minute ago, I love you, but I honestly missed you. I honestly missed you, and therefore I was slightly disappointed that I didn't get to see all of you. But again, maybe it's just because I'm greedy and I want time with you, so I want to just encourage you to put forth greater effort next time. Just try a little harder, right? What that might mean is clear your work schedule a little better. Maybe clear out your personal schedule more than a day or two in advance, maybe a month in advance. Maybe you can coordinate your vacation time with the meeting. That sounds radical. I know. But listen, maybe you might need to choose next time to miss an activity. Maybe you might need to choose to lose some income. Maybe you might need to choose to lose some sleep, or choose to lovingly, kindly neglect a friend in all preference of worshiping God with the saints and hearing a message from God's life-changing word. Just a suggestion. It's my job. It's my job to say these things to you, and I want you to think. I'm trying to stimulate you to thought into greater service to God Most High. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. You know this passage, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things that he mentions previous. They'll be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, brothers and sisters, moving forward, let's just take the energy. And Josh said he felt the energy. And there was true, honest energy. It was all the good things I mentioned earlier. Let's take that generated, I believe, by the Spirit of God that dwells among God's people, and let's use it to benefit the kingdom as we move forward together. Right? Let's use the lessons from God's word to sanctify and strengthen you, yourself, and myself. Let's make improvements and adjustments in our lives to glorify God. Let's come alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ. and let's edify them to greater service. And that's what this lesson is designed to do. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to nudge. I'm trying to exhort. I'm trying to encourage. Let's just do all things to the honor and praise of God. Basically, let's keep doing what we've been doing. That's the work of the kingdom. But let's do it with renewed zeal and renewed commitment. And I'm asking today, are you all in? Are you in on this effort? And I know the answer. I'm not looking for actual verbal answer. But are you in? We should start now looking forward to our next meeting. There will be another meeting. I don't know if we've actually put it on the books, but Stephen and I have talked about it. He's the deacon in charge of meetings, by the way. If you have any ideas, if you have any suggestions, then give them to Stephen. You're welcome to give them to me. I'll pass them on to Stephen. That's his responsibility here for this congregation. And as we make plans for the next meeting, the next event, whatever it might be, look for ways to get involved. If you were more like that guy in the bakery, then look for a way to actually pick something up this time and actually carry it rather than patting somebody on the back. Not that a pat on the back's not fun. We need pats on the back. But look for ways to get involved. Start now. Listen, start now sowing the seed in the hearts of those you want to come with you to the meeting the next time we have one. Start now doing that. It's never too late until it's too late. So what I'm really trying to encourage you to do is to be as involved as you can be in the kingdom. That's really all this lesson's about. Step outside your comfort zone. Expand your service to the Most High and to His people. Try the challenging things. Do the hard things. And maybe it's just a little thing, like Josh talked about, but make sure you give everything. If your little thing is all you can do, it better be everything you've got. The reason I say that is because Jesus gave everything for you. He gave everything for you. He left the heavenly realm. He came as a human to serve God and all mankind. He submitted to the will of the Father. He died as a sacrificial lamb for the sins of humanity, you and me. He shed His blood to purify all of us. He was buried in the grave. He was raised on the third day, never to die again. And we are invited to follow His example. He says, come die with me and be raised with me. And we can join in the service, in the labor, in His kingdom. And that's all this lesson is designed to do, is to find ways we can do more in the kingdom. But this is what Jesus did. And He invites you to follow Him. That's why I asked Joe to lead the song, Give Me Thy Heart. If you really stop and think about it, what it all boils down to, it's not attendance. It's not numbers and programs and flyers and stuff like that. It's about heart. Jesus says, both the Father, the Son, and the Spirit says, give me thy heart. That's what He wants. If you give your heart to Jesus, everything else goes with it. That's all we have to do. That's all He asks for. He just wants your heart. No gift so precious to Him as our love, our commitment, our faith is what He asks for. If you need to give your heart to Jesus, you have an opportunity. Giving your heart to Jesus means believing that He is a Son of God. It means that you're willing to confess that faith in Jesus Christ as a Son of God. You're going to turn from sins. You're going to turn your life towards God and live for Him. And you're going to die with Him. That means you're going to be immersed into water in a symbolic death of His. He died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and raised to walk in newness of life. We die to sin, we're buried in baptism, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. That's all it is. And I'm not trying to minimize it, but I think we built this up into some great, big, scary, ominous thing, and it's really just imitating His death, burial, and resurrection. It's an open declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. It's an open declaration that you are trusting Him and Him alone to save your souls, because it's baptism for the remission of sins. And having done that, you have given your heart to Jesus, and everything else comes along with it. If you need to do that, you have an opportunity. Why don't you do that right now as together we stand to sing.